Today's guest has a little bit of So You Think, a splash of America's Best Dance Crew, and of course, a whole lot of World of Dance.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Welcome on into another edition of To The Point with Kristen Burt, presented by Popcorn Talk and Dance Network. We are so excited to have season 12 runner-up and one of my personal favorites. If you guys watch my old AfterBuzz show, you know that I was talking all about this girl over and over and over and over. And she's here in studio today. It is Yaya Vankova. Thank you for joining us. How did I do on your last name?
Very, very good. Yes.
You guys, we all pronounce it Vankova, and it's not. It's Vankova.
Okay, nice. Hello.
I was trying it. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited that you are here because I think for a lot of So You Think fans, we were so rooting for you in season 11. We wanted you on the show when we saw that you came back for season 12. Mm-hmm. That was kind of really, really exciting for a lot of us. I know I was one of them that was like, yes. So, but we're going to go all the way back because I think that your story is so interesting. And it really was someone just meeting Philip Shabib, like really kind of changed the whole course of your career. But you got started well before Philip in the Czech Republic. And how old were you when you started dancing?
So I officially started dancing when I was 10 years old. But I was kind of dancing, you know, at home and with my sister and with my family, like back when I was growing up, because my sister, she's not a dancer, but she used to dance back when she was in school. So she used to make like little school performances for like school events, and I was always watching her routines, and I was coming to her rehearsals, and I was like, wow, this is something I really want to do. And so she used to teach me her routines like at home in the living room, and then I would like bring my whole family, sit them down on the couch, and I would be like, okay, now watch me dance.
I got a show happening. Shows at 5 o'clock, yeah, sit on the couch.
So I was like kind of like a show off. Like I would always sit them down, or even like when my family would have gathering on the garden, so I would be like, okay guys, like I would put like a full-on costume on and I would come to the garden and bring the stereo and be like, okay, now the show is happening, like I'm performing for you right now.
I love that. Did you make tickets? Did they have to have tickets?
No,
for the
actually,
show?
No,
you didn't
no,
go
no,
that
no,
far.
No, I didn't go that far. So I kind of like had love for it. Anytime I would hear, like, I used to love Shakira and Madonna. Like, those were my two top
Are you
ones
kidding me?
That I would be dancing to.
Did you have a particular, like, Shakira song or Madonna song that you, like, over and over and over, you knew?
Okay, so it was, what is it called? American Idol from Madonna? Is it something, not American Idol, American Life? Something American.
It's American, probably. Wait, he's helping us, too. It's from Madonna. We know that one.
Yeah. So it's a really famous one. And then Shakira would be the whenever.
Oh, that's great. You weren't necessarily popping and locking that
early. Oh, no. I was not popping and locking in that area. Yeah. And then it would be also Missy Elliott, I'm Really Hot music video.
I love
where,
Missy.
There would be the clown dancing. At the time, I didn't know what was it called. I didn't know that it was clown dancing with the paint on the face.
Yeah.
So I would be watching that every day and I would be like, wow, this is like so like something I want to do. So anytime I would be like by myself, I would be like trying it out at home in front of the computer. Yeah, so that was like my beginnings where I already had like love for dance before I even knew what is it or what am I doing, and like I would be like making up my own routines, and I would like bring my cousin and make her dance as well. And like then, like, officially I started to dance in a little dance group when I was 10 years old in my town, Česká Kamenice. It's a really small town, like 5,000 people.
Where is it from, say, Prague?
It's 2 hours, about 2 hours away from Prague North.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, by Germany.
Okay.
Really small town. So the dance crew, it was called Tizians at the time. So it was a really small dance crew. We only had like 15 people. Mm-hmm. And before, it was actually funny because before I joined this dance crew, my friend that I was going to school with, she taught me all the dance routines that they were doing in this dance crew. She taught me in school. So she taught me the dance routines. And then when I joined the crew, I just came in And
like, I got this.
Yeah, and no I worries. Like busted out all the dance routines, and the dance teacher was like, "Who is this?" You know, I was like, "Show off again."
You're like,
you know?
Yaya. Yeah, I was come like, on.
I know everything.
I got this. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. No, I love. I was reading somewhere online that you guys did Czechs Got Talent. Yes, I love that the show is literally everywhere across the world.
Yes, it's still going on there right now. I did Czech Got Talent with my other crew that I joined later, Out of Bounds. And we got all the way into the semifinals, but again, like, the talent out there, like, it's such a small country that it's not as huge as in America. But it was fun. It was fun experience. I wouldn't mind maybe doing it again as a solo just because the opportunity is there. And I never actually... I pursue the dance career in the Czech Republic a little bit, but I left the dance scene really early, so maybe like I would love to revisit the dance scene out there as well. I think it would be a good idea.
Well, that's kind of interesting too, because you've been such a success here in the U.S. and I know I've seen you traveling globally. Yeah. We were just talking about you were like, I'm going to stay put for a little while. Yeah. I'm tired. but I would think that they would love to see you back and, you know, performing and teaching and everything else and probably even doing one of their shows, mm-hmm. because I've got to imagine that people know who you are there as well. I mean, you've been such a mm-hmm. success here in the States.
Yeah. So, back in the day when I was there, I used to do, like, national championships with my crew. I used to do TV shows with my crew as well. And I did this big TV show out there. It was called Dancer of the Year at the time. It does not exist anymore, unfortunately. But it was a legit underground battle, and they managed to put it on TV in the main time, and it actually got pretty popular out there. Mm-hmm. And they had legit judges like from the underground scene. It was really, really cool. We actually had judges from America as well. Mm-hmm. And I won this battle out there, so that was like the main thing I kind of got known under in the Czech Republic. But again, like, I left Czech Republic when I was 18, so like I didn't kind of have time to really pursue the dance scene out there.
As an adult, yeah. They knew you as kind of like the kid dancer, a teen dancer, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. That's interesting. I kind of want to ask, like, did you have any formal training, or are you just kind of working with the crew? Did you step into like a ballet or a contemporary class or anything at that point?
I don't have a formal training. I tried really hard.
But you know what? You're pretty darn good.
But there was like... one time, I think I was like 13 or 14 when I went to a modern and jazz camp for 1 week.
How was that?
And I managed to stay there for 4 days, and then I called my parents to come pick me up.
I can't make it the final 3 days, Mom.
I couldn't make it, yeah. So, I mean... I don't know what is it. I actually found like a love for contemporary when I was on So You Think and Dance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, before the show, like I took a couple ballet classes, I took a couple contemporary classes, jazz classes, but I never were formally trained. Yeah,
that's incredible. I mean, when I watch your work, and I'm just gonna gush for a moment, but just let me listen. But but your work is so precise. It's very clean. It in my mind, it comes from someone that has had what I would say is like, oh, that classical traditional training, mm-hmm. Because you have really beautiful lines. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you were on So You Think, like, you knew how to point your toe. And mm-hmm. sometimes things that people that have different types of training sometimes forget. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see that. And mm-hmm. obviously, it's a natural talent. So you're lucky. I'm someone that, like, when I was taking class, like, I loved it so much, but I had to work really, really mm-hmm. hard at just getting the basics down. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, I think my specialty in dance is not a certain style, but is control. So I'm a technique freak, but I'm a technique freak in like the street styles, like mm-hmm. in popping or animation or crumb. So I do love the feeling part of the dance, but what is most interesting for me is always the technique behind all the steps and all the dance styles that I'm doing. And yeah, I always had like a natural control in my muscles. And then when I discovered it, I tried to trained it even more, started to train it even more, and I started to discover new exercises, how to get my control better. So that's then I discovered like the whole animation and robot, and that I can be really good at those styles because of the control. Yeah, but that's like that's my specialty. So if people ask me what is your like main dance style, I actually would say I don't even have a main dance style. I just have my specialty is control. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense though, and then it allows you to kind of explore the animation, the crumping, the popping, or anything else like that.
Yeah, and then a lot of people think that I am technically trained because I feel like control is kind of like a basic for every dance style. Even if it's like free, there's still some kind of control to it. So even in ballet, like I'm able to get into like the positions, even if I don't have the splits, I don't have the extensions exactly, but because I'm not like lanky and stuff, I'm able to get into the ballet posture better. So that's why people would think that I'm technically trained. But yeah,
well, you probably have a very good most dancers do, but you probably have a natural understanding of your body and how it moves and things like that. And that's great because you start out like ahead of the game right off the bat, which is awesome. When did your, I think it was 2010, you met Philip Chabib, but did you know that this was going to be this complete game changer for your entire life and career?
No, I did not know at all. Actually, the very, very first time I think I met him, 2009 in the Czech Republic. It was called Street Dance Camp. It's an event in the Czech Republic, and he was teaching class out there. At a camp, he was teaching a couple classes, but I took his first class, and after his first class I was like, okay, I can't do this, like this style is just too hard for me. I was so hurt from his styles, from
he's
his
got
dancing.
A lot of floor work too that he explores levels that I think are really amazing.
One time he taught a class there only on the floor, and people were dying in that class.
I know, it seems great because you're like, I'll be on the floor, this will be relaxing. Nope.
No.
Wait, you guys.
Yeah, so that was the first time I met him. I did his choreography class. And then the second time I met him was 2 months later at another event in the Czech Republic. It was called Hip Hop Meeting. And at this event, I was teaching and showcasing as well. So he saw my choreography and he saw me perform. He saw me battle at the Street Dance Camp event. And then I was coming to America another like 2 months later. So I told him, I was like, hey, I'm coming to America. Are you teaching there or something like that? He was like, no, but maybe we'll see each other there, maybe. So I went to America, to Los Angeles. That was October 2009 or 2010. And I was here for 5 weeks just for training in the studios and stuff. And then my dance teacher came as well, and he met up with Philip. And then when he came back, he's like, hey, Philip wants to work with you and talk to you. And I was like, oh, interesting. And my dance teacher was like, he's going to call you to the hotel, because I didn't have a phone.
Right, you didn't have a cell phone with you.
I didn't have a cell phone. I was in America. I was just dancing. I didn't need a cell phone. I didn't need social media. So all I was doing was dancing.
Right.
So I didn't have a phone. Yeah. So so my teacher was like, yeah, Philip is going to call you to the hotel. I was like, oh. So I remember I was here with my friend. So we took turns by sitting by the phone, waiting for the phone
call. Is Philip gonna call?
Yeah, I was like, I cannot miss this call, right? So we took turns. So I would go take dance classes. My friend would be waiting by the phone, and then she would take dance classes, and I would be waiting by the phone. So then it was like 4 days before I was leaving America, and Philip still wasn't calling. So I was like, oh, so maybe like he forgot or something. So then
4 days of waiting by the phone.
3 days before I left, he called to the hotel.
Finally. Were you there?
Yes, thank I was there. Goodness. I was like, oh, hello.
I just walked in.
Pretending like I wasn't sitting by the phone for days.
For 4 days.
And so he called and he's like, yeah, I want to do a dance video with you. So we met up. We made up the choreography in 2 days. And the last day, when I was actually leaving, we were shooting, and we were shooting the dance video all night until like 6 a.m. And then my flight was there, but it wasn't until night. So he dropped me off back at the hotel. I took like a 2-hour nap. I packed and we said bye and everything. We were like, oh, this video was good. Okay, bye-bye. It was good, blah, blah, blah. That was it, right? So I packed, and me and my friend were like, oh, we still have a couple hours before our flight, so we are just going to go walk around in the Beverly Hills Center. Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, so we are walking around in the Beverly Hills Center, and suddenly I see Philip and Moon, like, doing some pickup shots for the video, randomly in the mall.
That's so weird, like, at the Beverly Center?
Yeah, like, we were not shooting anywhere close to that, nothing. It was just extremely random. And I was like... What are you guys doing here? And they're like, oh, you're still doing some pickup shots for the video. And Philip was like, by the way, I forgot to ask you if you want to move to America and join IME crew. I was like...
Wait, he forgot to ask you?
He just forgot to ask me.
By the way, I just dropped this bomb before you get on the plane.
I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I said yes right away, mm-hmm. straight out of the bed. And then he was like, okay, yeah, just stay in contact. On Facebook, because I didn't even have his number, just stay in contact on Facebook, just text me. I was like, okay. So we left, I left the country, I left America. And later Philip told me, like, yeah, if I didn't meet you at the mall, I would never ask you. Yeah, I would never ask you to join the crew.
And so I was that, like, weird, yeah. random, like, mm-hmm. moment. Is what changed it all.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's nuts.
Yeah. So every time I go to the Beverly Hills Center, there's like the store with jewelry. It's where I met Moon and Philip again. I was like, okay, this is the place.
You're like, this is my lucky spot. Yeah, like, what else can happen here?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was so random, so crazy. And I left back to the Czech Republic for 2 months trying to, like, get a visa. I did not get the visa. I went back to America without visa. I was like, I'm just going.
You just went.
I just went.
All right. And let's just talk, because mm-hmm. a lot of people don't understand this. It's not that easy just to, like, mm-hmm. come to the United States. It's probably even harder now in 2017 without mm-hmm. getting political. Yeah. To try and work here often takes months and months and months. Mm-hmm. So you came without a visa.
Yeah.
And how long did you stay here?
So I came without a visa. My flight ticket was back in 1 month. I didn't take the flight, of course, because I stayed in Houston with the crew practicing.
Why were the crew in Houston versus Los Angeles at the time?
The whole crew is from Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, so they all grew up there, or they're from there.
Okay,
yeah.
But Philip was living in LA and then decided to go back to Houston.
No, he's from Houston as well.
But he was living in LA when you went and worked with him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He was living in LA with Moon at the time already. Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I stayed in Houston. We were practicing for 3 months. So those 3 months is the maximum time I could stay in America.
Yep.
And then we made it on ABDC, but ABDC said that they cannot get me visa, so they need to replace me. So actually...
Right. And this was America's Best Dance Crew season six.
Six, yes.
Okay.
So actually my crew... already found a backup for me, and
that's too soon.
She knows about it. It was Ai Hasegawa. I don't know if you guys know, she's amazing. So she was supposed to replace me in IME crew. And then a couple days later, Philip was like, you know what? I will just tell them that if you cannot go on the show, the whole IME crew is not going on the show. So he just did that. I was like, are you sure? Because they can cut you guys. And he's like, yeah, I will tell them that. So Philip told them that, and one day later they were like, yeah, we will get her visa.
Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that interesting?
Yes. See? Well, and you know, there's a couple lessons in all of that, mm-hmm. too. And just to kind of throw this out, first of all, mm-hmm. it shows the integrity of Philip mm-hmm. In wanting to keep the original group intact, because mm-hmm. that is risking a very big opportunity mm-hmm. for everyone.
Yeah.
But it also shows you the side mm-hmm. of production when it comes to making TV, and that usually things are possible, but you have to play a little hardball.
Exactly.
And he did. He played. He gambled correctly. Mm-hmm. So
exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I got an artistic visa for the show. Of course, right after the show, I had to get a lawyer and get a work visa, and it took about 6 months. And then
it's hard.
Yeah, I had about 3 work visas before I was even able to get a green card. I had to wait for the green card for about a year. So it's like a really long process, really annoying process, a lot of money, a lot of time. Like,
yes.
It's
and are
really
you still
crazy.
Here on a green card, or
yes.
are you okay? And are
yes.
you going to try and become a citizen of the United States?
I can become citizen in about 4 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something? Can you do dual citizenship too?
That's what I want to do, yeah.
Because that would be great.
Yeah, I don't think I want to be full American also because I am traveling a lot, mm-hmm. and a lot of countries require a visa for American citizens, but they don't require a visa for Czech citizens.
That's right. So yeah, and it's nice to also, I think, still keep a part of, you know, who you exactly. are. And yeah, I understand
yeah.
that.
I don't want to lose it, yeah.
I understand mm-hmm. that. I would do duals myself. That's yeah. amazing. Let's talk about that America's Best Dance Crew experience, because this season was interesting because each week they were like, you have Katy Perry, you've got mm-hmm. Missy Elliott or whoever mm-hmm. it was. Was that a challenge as a group to be like, especially if it's music that you're just not usually dancing to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely a challenge, but I feel like we were really prepared for the show because the whole 3 months, basically what we did was we were practicing every day about 12 hours every day.
Wow.
And we basically were making up material and then we were recording everything. So by the time we got on the show, we pretty much had everything. And then when they gave us the song, Philip and Moon, they were just like, okay, we are just gonna put this here, this here, this here, this here, this here, and the choreography was done, and then we just needed to practice it.
So the framework was done.
The framework was yeah. all done, yeah. So all the choreography, well, our choreography is pretty much just like the connecting sets and then in between, you know, like 4 steps and then connecting set again or like trick or something like that. So we had all of that done. So it was really... It wasn't easy, but we were not making up any choreography on the show anymore because everything was done.
You know, and that's yeah. probably one of the winning strategies, mm-hmm. honestly, because yeah. I know a lot of people, and I heard a lot of this from mm-hmm. World of Dance Season 1, people were changing things mm-hmm. and stressing mm-hmm. out, and sometimes they were like, I didn't dance like myself because mm-hmm. I was constantly changing mm-hmm. choreography yeah. for the show, but you guys kind of had it in your body, mm-hmm. the muscle memory thing yeah. going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, you know, and I feel like that was a really good strategy because we didn't have to go off of feeling of the song, we were just like going off of the material that we have, and we put the material on the song, we made the music musicality of it, and that was it. Yeah, so
I love that.
Yeah, so that was a really, I think that was the reason why also we won, because you really don't have time to make up material on the show. Like even with the all the material we had, we still like had nights when we just stayed up all night and we just didn't sleep. Like it was
tough.
When like straight from rehearsal, take a shower and go on stage. Ugh, and yeah, it was exhausting. Really crazy.
Now, I was reading up on this and this I thought was really interesting. This was not a live finale and they made you guys this. Let's talk about reality TV, all right? And they made you guys tape you winning mm-hmm. and tape you guys losing. Mm-hmm. And then you did not find out if you won or lost until the MTV, mm-hmm. was it Music Awards? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and not the Movie Awards, the Music Awards. Yeah. So the VMAs.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, in a weird way, it's anticlimactic, but then at the same time, it's exciting because yeah. then you do find out you won. What was that like? Because that's a little bit of acting.
Yeah, because it was interesting because first, yeah, we had to act up like how we win and how we lose. And then the show was over and we just went home. And we were just like, oh, so we don't know what happened. Everybody was asking us and we were like, yeah, we don't know. And it wasn't until 1 week later when we met up all in one house and we were watching the TV. And basically from the TV, we found out if we won.
I wonder yeah. why they did it that way. Yeah. Did they ever give you an explanation of why they just didn't do a live finale? Or
I think it was because they just wanted to make it part of the VMAs because yeah. more people would watch it that way.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense. But yeah, that was the first time they did it like that. Yeah. And we didn't even know until like the day of the shoot. We didn't know that this is going to happen.
That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy. It's just, it's so interesting because, you know, the producer's job is to produce a good television show at the same uh-huh. time, but they oftentimes don't let talent uh-huh. know about things uh-huh. until the last minute. So you're uh-huh. like, how do I process all of this? Because uh-huh. it's like,
yeah.
it would be fun to have the big finale yeah. with confetti and all that yeah. other good stuff, but...
So, but there was, okay, this is a little behind the scene.
I love this.
This is nobody knows.
Exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive. I'm going to tell on ABDC. I'm going to tell on you guys right
Do
now.
It.
We kind of knew that we won because Iconic Boy's flag fell down accidentally. Oh. And they didn't put it back up. But for them to, for Iconic Boys to win, they would need to put the flag back up to get the shot. But they didn't. So you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so they would have had them redo the number mm-hmm. and make sure the flag mm-hmm. was up.
Yeah,
yeah, because you want to have a perfect, yeah. clean number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. So it's like they already knew.
So there
knew.
Was like this little mistake that happened, and they didn't realize that they need to put the flag back up for... to make it believable that we don't know who won or lost. Yeah, so that's what happened there.
Interesting.
So you're like,
Yeah, you're like, yeah. I think we won. Yeah. Isn't that funny? It's so funny how, like, sometimes little clues are given and you're like, you didn't even know you gave it away.
Yeah.
How much did that change everything for IME? I mean, obviously, when you get off the show and you win, did you guys notice, like, people were calling you guys more to perform and teach classes?
So 100%, like, the next 3 years, we had jobs, like, every weekend. So what we did is the whole IME crew, we moved into one house. So we had an IME house,
which was
really amazing. It was, like, one of the best years of my life. It was so much fun. We were traveling a lot, like teaching, performing, doing a lot of high school, college shows. We were doing a lot of fashion shows, TV shows, teaching tours, overseas tours in Australia and Philippines. So, like, we were doing a lot of stuff for the next 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it definitely changed a lot. And it also, because of the win, I was able to get the work visa. Because I think if we didn't win, then I would have to go back to the Czech Republic. Yeah.
It's amazing how things fall in line. Yeah, that's incredible. When did the idea sort of spark in you that you wanted to audition for So You Think?
The idea kind of came from Philip and Emilio, because Philip was on season, I don't even know which one, five. And then Emilio was on season
originally 10. But then 11.
Then 11, his nose.
The nose. Someone kicked his nose.
Yeah. So it was the boys who told me, like, yeah, you should try it. Like, I think you would do really good. And it's something like how you can, like, show yourself individually besides the crew and stuff. So that's why I auditioned season 11. And I know that, like, everybody was sad I didn't make it on season 11 and stuff, but I think it was just meant to be, because season 12 was the street versus stage, and I think that was just so much better for me.
You were able to really shine on that season. Yeah, yeah. But I will tell you, people were really rooting for you. You know, that was the good thing. You know, I think that... just seeing you, because you made it so far, and then just to that, you know, when they are like, not this season, you're like, no, it's frustrating even for viewers. Mm-hmm. So when you heard stage versus street, were you like, this is it? I'm auditioning. Yeah. I'm getting on the show.
Yeah. I actually was thinking of not auditioning, and then when they said it's stage versus street, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to audition.
Yeah, you're like, I'm a sure bet for this. In your head, you kind of have to think that, because they obviously liked you for season 11 and, you know, those crazy last-minute decisions of who they pick for the top 20. But what was the audition process like? I always like to ask people this, because I think it is a lot more difficult. It's probably the most difficult week, especially once you guys get to Vegas week or Hollywood week, wherever you guys are. Mm-hmm. But people are like, it's not easy to get on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so first you have the actual audition, which is like 2 days, which you do. You have first audition where you do about 10-second dancing only to their music, and they say like yes or no. Then you have second audition when you do about 20 seconds of your dancing, they say yes or no, and then you go on the stage. That's when you do your main solo audition. Then they either send you to the choreography, or you make it to the Vegas week or the Hollywood week or whatever.
And you got sent right through, which was great.
Yeah, I got sent right through, yes. And then in the Vegas week, I was doing still Vegas week. It was in Vegas. That one is insane, because I feel like their main thing is, like, not to let you sleep at all. Yeah,
I would agree as an audience member.
So they can, like, get you really emotional, and they can, you know, create a drama, the TV reality, and
the,
like,
the group dance, like Stay All Night.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my, that one is the worst. And then they just want to see, like, if you are able to handle the pressure. Because if you are able to handle the pressure in Vegas League, then you will be able to handle the show. But the show really is more. It, of course, it's about dancing, but more than just about dancing, it's about who can really handle it, you know, because it's every day, really, you wake up around 5, 6 in the morning, you start rehearsals at 7, 7.30, and you go until, like, 9, 10 p.m., and that's like that every day.
Yeah. How do you keep yourself going through that? Because there are days in the studio where you're like, I'm not going to love this dance piece this week. This is a hard one. I don't feel comfortable with this. How do you keep yourself, like, motivated? Because you're tired. Your body hurts.
I think when I'm under pressure, I work better under the pressure. So I'm able to, like, switch on a mode where I'm just like, okay, now it's time to work. And I'm going to do the best I can until this is done. And I think Chris Scott helped me a lot during the season two, because he always told me, no matter what number you get, you always have to love it. Like, no matter if you do or you don't, just love it. Love every step, love the song, love the costume, love everything about it. And that's kind of what I did. I was like, no matter what was it, I really loved every piece. And I feel like that also shows on the stage too, you know? If you like the piece or you don't like the piece, it shows on your dancing, on your facials, you know, on your work ethic and everything. So, yeah, I have to say, like, after 1 month, I kind of switched on autopilot.
Yes.
So, you know, so, yeah, I was on autopilot the rest of the show for the 2 months, but I was still, like, going, and there was nothing else. Just,
you're in the zone.
Yeah, I was just in the zone, yeah.
I loved the piece that Tassandra Chavez choreographed on you and Alex Wong, and I think we have a photo of it somewhere. So, but it is really an incredible piece. That was about the woman that has Alzheimer's. But for me, that was like such a game changer too, of like, look at all of the other like colors that you can show as a dancer, because we know, like, you're going to give us anything street, we're going to love it. But being able to see the stage side was incredible.
Thank you. Yeah, I really love the piece as well. And I have to give big shout out and big props to Tassandra Chavez, because she is an awesome person, awesome choreographer. I loved working with her so much, because she had so much support towards me. And I feel like when she was setting the piece, it wasn't just like, oh, here you have a contemporary piece. It was like she was choreographing contemporary on my style. So she really took the time and saw what I can do and what I cannot do, what is my strength, and then she put the strength into the contemporary. So I feel like it wasn't just like, oh, here's the piece and that's it. It was like her choreographing on me. So yeah, there was, I remember, like, I actually learned almost the whole piece in the first rehearsal, and then rest of the time we were just like changing and adjusting things on what looks better, what looks good, stuff
that's
like
great.
That. Yeah. So it wasn't like her like trying to, you know, make me do moves that really don't look good on me.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard not to get intimidated when like Alex Wong walks into the studio.
Of course, yeah.
Because he's like one of the best dancers, but I felt like you guys were evenly matched. Like, it was emotional, and I think that having that connection really, really worked in the piece.
Yeah, I have to say I had a really great chemistry with Alex Wong because we both were like such hard workers. We were just like, okay, from the beginning of the rehearsal until the end, we were just like going cleaning, like doing over and over, and he was even helping me to like with stretching, like explain me like how to stretch and how to
no one does it better than
exactly, you know. So even one time Jeff the main producer, he walked into the rehearsal room and he told me like, oh, I see you, yeah you've been stretching, right? And I was like,
That's right. I'm glad you're noticing. That is fantastic. That makes me laugh. What do you think, what's the most memorable part of So You Think for yourself? On the show-wise, because I know the tour is like kind of separate, but was there a moment that you're just like, I will never forget that part of the show?
On the show, most memorable thing? I think it was just, like, in general, like, working with the different choreographers and, you know, just, like, finding out how everybody works differently. And, yeah, I think most memorable thing was the Sandra Chavez piece and then Chris Scott piece with that I did with Jim, No Woman, No Cry. That was also amazing, yeah.
I love that piece.
Yes, yes. I love that piece and I love the intention behind it and... yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it was also fun because me and Jim got to perform that piece at the gala that was going
Dizzy
on during...
Dizzy Feet Gala,
yeah,
that's
Dizzy
right.
Dizzy Feet Gala that was going on during the show. So yeah, that was very special to be actually able to perform this piece there.
Yeah, and the Dizzy Feet Gala, they didn't have one this year, but they have had them most years, and you're performing alongside. I mean, they bring in huge stars from the ballet world, contemporary world, so you're performing alongside them. That's really amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember that piece, too, and I always, there's one thing I appreciate Chris Scott is that he will take an unusual piece of music that you wouldn't expect and then puts together this beautiful movement, and you're like, holy cow, and it, then you're like, I'm emotional over this. Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah,
I did see you guys on tour and you guys had that crazy, like, you did like what, like 70 cities,
yeah.
And I remember I was interviewing some of the season 10 and they're like, we're so jealous, they were so upset that you guys had the extra long tour. But I know for you guys it's tough being on the road, like it's good and then at a certain point you're like, I'm ready for the tour to be over, I'm ready to be home. I saw you guys, there we are, in Columbus. Dance Network happened to be in Columbus covering the Ohio Star Ball, and we kind of crashed the tour.
I actually remember it. I remember it, yeah.
Isn't that funny? Yeah. And I think we interviewed you, we interviewed Gabby, and I think Marissa. So just kind of just a fun memory. What is your fun, like, best memory of tour?
Best memory of tour... Let's see. I'm sure there's a lot. It was such a long tour for 4 months.
It was really long.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure there was a lot of fun memories. But yeah, it was just, you know what? Even more than about the dancing, it was the costume changes in the bag. Okay,
you guys have a lot.
I had 17 costume changes.
Are you kidding?
And yeah, it was okay. So this was fun when like. Fun. Well, now it's funny when I look back at it, but sometimes the theaters were so small that we had like no room to change or anything, so we were just like right next to the stage changing, so we were like trying for the people not to see us, but then we had like the wardrobe ladies trying to change us real quick, because sometimes I remember one of my costume changes was 15 seconds.
That's nothing.
I was like,
yeah, I mean, there's body parts flying and everything, because you're just trying to get back on stage.
Yeah.
And there's always like that sleeve will get caught or your foot gets caught and the pant leg.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, it was more like, for me, it was more a costume change show than a dancing show, because I feel like the costume changes took more time than even the dancing. Yeah.
Yeah, and the way they arrange it, if you guys have been to the So You Think tour, and you should, because I just saw the recent one at the Dolby, it's like they do transitions, so they morph kind of like two dances into each other, and then someone will come out with a solo. So you guys are just constantly in motion with that. There are two acts, too, so you get like, what, a 15-minute breather if at most.
Yeah.
Something I would really love to ask you about, and I think that this is kind of important, like being a woman in the whole like animation, pop, you know, crumping world, there's a lot more representation these days than there were even, say, 2-3 years ago. But, you know, has it been hard? Are there challenges? What are those challenges?
Yes, actually, it's been really hard, especially in the crump world, because here in Los Angeles, it's only about 3 girls that crump. And I'm the one that's like most active. So yeah, it's when I come to the session or battles, it's only guys. So it does get really intimidating. So I have to be more confident about myself, more pushy, just even to jump into the session, because, you know, the guys, they don't care.
I was going to say, are they encouraging or are they just kind of like, yaya's here?
It depends.
On the person?
Yeah, some are encouraging, some are just like, oh, no, it's our time to dance. Like, it's not your time to dance, So, yeah, but in actually, I am trying to push the female community more out here in LA, because in Europe, the female crump community is really huge.
Interesting.
It's really, really huge.
Why do you think it's not as huge here?
So, I think, and this is just my opinion,
I think
that here in America, there is a lot of work opportunities for artists, music videos, commercials, movies, and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. So, the scene, the dance scene here in America, of course, there are some amazing specialties in each style, but it's more about choreography, because choreography is what gets the jobs out here in America. in Europe, there is no such opportunities. There is some artists and stuff like that, but it's not huge. And right. and the pay is not big. So it's not like, oh, I can make a dance career out of dancing for artists or music videos or commercials or movies in Europe. Mm-hmm. It's not like that. So the way you get to work as a dancer in Europe is that either you win battles, like big battles, mm-hmm. or you win big choreography competitions and then you become a choreographer out there. But it's more about the battle scene and freestyle scene out there in Europe. That's how you really get work. So you really have to study and master your craft. And so you really have to master popping or master crump or master locking and then go win the battles. And then you get to teach and start to travel, and
those opportunities then exactly. open up. Interesting.
Yes.
And you know, it's been kind of there's been a lot of discussion in the dance community, even just about classes and how we treat classes mm-hmm. here. And I'm sure you've seen some of the the online conversation. I really want to say it's conversation because I don't think that either side mm-hmm. Is wrong, and I just think mm-hmm. we all have to meet in the middle. And the conversation is about, are we just taping classes for social media, mm-hmm. or should we be also using a classroom or a you know, the studio itself mm-hmm. to be a place that's sacred and you learn to get mm-hmm. better and things mm-hmm. like that. And I think here in the U.S. we have to find
the
a place for
medium,
both.
The happy yes. And I've seen the debates about this, and I think there is no wrong or right. Mm-hmm. But I think since we are taping a lot of the classes right now and it's becoming like a full-out video for social media or stuff like that, I feel like it would be a great idea to have classes which are performing classes where we can tape, and then there are learning classes where people just learn.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a great separation. And then in the performing class, yes, it would be about learning the choreography and having the video at the end. And that's even how people can learn more how to perform, not only how to catch the choreography. And then in the learning classes, it would be really just people going to learn the dance or dance style or the technique, and there is like no camera allowed. So maybe if there was some kind of a separation like that, it would help this confusion on like, oh, should we tape the classes? Is it good? You know, because yeah, a lot of times I think the choreographers are just trying to get through the choreography in the first 45 minutes mm-hmm. and then the last 45 minutes they care about the angle and the shoot, and it kind of loses the like, oh, I'm going to learn, you know?
Yeah, am I getting better and things yeah. like that? Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I think it's a really, it's a huge discussion. We could probably mm-hmm. spend an entire hour yes. on it, mm-hmm. honestly, because I think I was someone that like, I love to learn. I mm-hmm. was that, but I would have benefited, I think, as a dancer to mm-hmm. take some of those performance classes because mm-hmm. I think it would have made me a better mm-hmm. performer. Yeah. However, you know, if you're only taking one type of class, mm-hmm. you know, what's happening to that other side of you as an artist, whether mm-hmm. it's just, you know, you're just taking a learning class or mm-hmm. whether you're taking the performing class. Mm-hmm. So
yes,
we mm-hmm. we have to find that balance. And yeah. I think I'm, you know, and I'm glad people were getting angry. And I was like, you know what, this is, the dialogue is great. And mm-hmm. we just need to sit there and keep mm-hmm. the dialogue going and finding out where that middle mm-hmm. ground is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like there's just like a natural evolution of everything, you know, so mm-hmm. natural evolution of dance. Yes, it's going to happen because we have more social media and
technology.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah. And it's just like with that, we just need to find like what, you know, what the evolution needs to it, you know, so we don't lose the learning subjects. We still have the performing subjects. So I feel like it's just like happy medium needs to be created there. And I feel like it will one day with the time, with the evolution, you know. But right now, yeah, the debates needs to happen because we don't want dance to be just about the videos on the social
yep.
media.
Yeah. And yeah, and there's learning. We just yeah. have to find how do we put these two yeah. together? Mm-hmm. And I think we will figure it out. But I'm glad it's all out in the open now
yes,
instead of like,
yeah.
there's this and this.
Yes,
and, you know,
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. out there.
Yeah.
I know you do a lot with the World of Dance Tour. And I just mm-hmm. want to throw this out to people. We're not talking about NBC's World of Dance right now. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the World of Dance Tour.
Yeah.
You're one of their headliners.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you been working with them? Because I love going to these events. Mm-hmm. I have to be honest. Like, I went to my very first one in 2016, mm-hmm. I'll admit it. And I was like, holy cow, this is mm-hmm. so much fun to
mm-hmm.
watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I've been working with them on and off before. Sometimes they would invite me to perform at their events. So they would be inviting like random dancers. But this year in 2017, they actually put together an all-star team. And they have a team of dancers that they're inviting constantly to the shows this season. So I was one of them. So I was actually, I had the opportunity to be at each World of Dance event. Like if I couldn't come, it would be okay, but anytime I could, like, I would go there and I would perform. And yes, I love the platform as well. I think it's a really amazing platform for dancers, and it's different because it's not, it's about the groups, which is the competition, but then it's about the solos as well. So people, the solos can really show their uniqueness, and it gives more opportunity for, you know, dancers that want to go solo, for them to see like, oh, I can really do it, I can really go solo out there, you know. And I love to just freestyle. Sometimes I love to get really creative. And it's a really amazing platform because so many people watches it, even like people that don't dance. And a lot of times when we are at the event, the Ricky Cole, he asked people like, who is the first time at World of Dance event, and a lot of people put their hand up that is their first time. So a lot of people are watching for the first time, which is really great. We are just spreading the dance more and more.
Yeah, and Ricky Cole is their MC. He's great too at what he does, and I think the world of dance has opened up more just because of the TV show. I think exposed people to more of it. I have to ask, would you ever do it? Would you ever do the show?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Season two, maybe? I don't know. There's a lot of giggling and blushing going on there. We'll see. I know, because I heard that there's a lot of great dancers. The talent pool's even bigger this season. So I love that. I'm getting a lot of giggle answers from everyone. I've been asking people point blank. I'm like, would you do it? And everyone's laughing at me. I'm like, okay. That's good. I'll be checking and see what you're doing in January and February. All right. No, I one final question, because we have 3 minutes left.
Oh, nice.
I told
wow.
you it goes
That's
fast.
Crazy.
I promise you. I was like, fast. I always scare people. I'm like, it's an hour. And I'm like, I promise you, it's not that bad. I would love to know, like, what are your like kind of big lofty goals in dance? Because I think that you're someone that's really creative. I think that you're representing females so well in your sector of dance, because it's, you know, the more the better. And I love that you're like wanting to like kind of organize the ladies out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so I think I always was the kind of person who was in the underground and in the industry as well. So I'm trying to put together more the industry and the underground together. And I would love to do more creative work as well, where I get to create on other dancers. So I would be kind of, I would love to be on the other side than the dance side. And then, of course, I love training. So I just want to get better and better and push my limits and see where my body can go. I love the crump scene, like the popping scene. And so I think I will never stop just battling people, because that's just
good.
What I enjoy so much. And just putting it out there, I would love to work with Eminem.
That's right. We started the show with Eminem. So, yeah, so Eminem, we are waiting for you to work with some dancers like this one. Just throw it out there. Why not? All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming
in.
It was such an honor to have you here. Just let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
All my social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook is at Yaya Vanikova.
I love that. So easy. All right, you guys, we will be back for one final show of 2017, and it is a reunion with Suri Serrano and Jake Dupree, and we are going to do dance hot topics. We're going to be talking a little bit about that whole class idea and some other things, some of your favorite commercial dance shows, and where we think they should all head in 2018. Be sure to check out dancenetwork.tv for the latest and greatest dance news, and we want to thank Popcorn Talk for hosting us here today. See you all next week.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Everybody.
Views expressed herein are those of the host only, not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its own expensive.